and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. And it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's very important. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So as we wrap this up, the topic for today is overcoming temptation. Overcoming temptation. We've talked about what is temptation. We talked about the anatomy of temptation last week. And today we're talking about overcoming temptation. One of the greatest problems we have in the church and in this culture today is a lack of the fear of God. Many people love God, but they don't fear God. Consequently, because of the absence of the fear of God, that lack of fear of God has made us very ignorant. As you know, today the Bible is readily available. A lot of people have Bibles on their phone, on their iPad, on their different mobile devices. But the knowledge of God has diminished. I was reading a report, and it says in 2007, Pew Research Center, they did a poll, and they found out that 83% of the millennials are the Generation Y, people, the teenagers up to about age 21. When they surveyed them, 83% of them said they have never doubted God's existence. The same poll was taken in 2012, and only 68% still share the same view. Between 2007 and 2012, there was a 15% drop, and there is a steady growth of people that claim to be atheists today. Friends, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is the beginning of knowledge. If you will not be deceived in this culture, in the world we live in today, you need the fear of the Lord. The word translated fear there, the Hebrew word translated fear, is yira. And yira simply means to shrink back in awe and to lean forward in wonder. It means when you think about God and you think about the word of God, it causes you to shrink in awe. You stand amazed in the awe of God. But at the same time, it is so amazing, you are leaning forward to be closer to God. So the fear of God does not drive you away from God, but rather it pulls you in to God. When you cheat, you are tempted to cheat because you want to succeed. But cheating is not the solution to success. It's not the answer to success. So we said four things back then. We said temptation is common to all. No one is exempt or immune from temptation. We also said that God is not the tempter because he is too holy to be tempted and too loving to tempt anyone with evil. And number three, we said temptation in itself is not sin. I'll say that again. The fact that you are being tempted does not mean you have committed a sin. You may be tempted and not fall into temptation. Jesus was tempted, but he never fell into temptation. Number four, we saw that at the very heart of temptation is an identity crisis. We saw Satan asking Jesus a couple of times. He said, "If you are the Son of God, turn stone to bread." He was tempting him to do the right thing the wrong way. Amen? And then last week, we talked about the anatomy of temptation and we covered several points. Number one, we said Satan is always challenging the word of God in your life. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, he asked Eve, he said, "As God said." Satan will always challenge the righteousness, the righteous stand that you are taking. When you refuse to do evil, Satan will challenge you. And you may not see scary crow. He's going to use people to challenge you. And they tell you, what are you talking about? This is year 2013. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody lives like that anymore. Praise the Lord. And I told you the story of the young lady that was asking me, "Pastor, is it true?" that men are not interested in virgins anymore. I said that is a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Because Satan has told many people a lot of lies. Number two, we saw that Satan was trying to offer her what she already had. Satan was telling her, I said, you will become God, like God, when you eat this. But God already created them in his own image and in his own likeness. Amen? And I gave the example of people telling you, take this shot of brandy if you know you are a man. I'm already a man. I don't need to prove it to you. If you ask any of my daughters to come and prove to you that they are my children, you'll be wasting your time. You just look at them, prove, or you ask me to prove that this is my mother. If you don't believe it, that's your own problem. Go worry about it. Amen? Number three, we asked the question, if God didn't want them to eat the tree, why did he plant it there? But we saw that choice guarantees free will. If you don't have choices, then you can't say you have a free will because you can't choose from one or the other. And number four, God came into the Garden of Eden to look for them and he said, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? And we said the question, where art thou, is not a question about their location. It was a question about their place in their relationship with God. And then we talked about lust of the eyes. We talked about lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Today, as I wrap up very quickly, friends, I want you to know that if you cannot delay gratification, you will always fall into temptation. I repeat myself. If you have a problem delaying gratification, every time you are tempted, you will fall in temptation. It is very important for you and I to know that, in fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it said, whoever is in a haste to be rich, he said, his hands will not be clean. His hands will not be clean. If you cannot delay pleasure, you will always fall for. And it doesn't matter where. If you do it in one area, it's like a cancer. It spreads everywhere else. If you can't wait on the Lord in fasting and prayer, you will not be able to wait on the Lord in many other things. So very important with temptation. You can go back and read Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. This was our text two Sundays ago. The number one thing in overcoming temptation, number one thing that you must know is know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, when people want to, they say, oh, when you do this, it will make you cool and make you belong. This is what you do to belong. Say, I'm already loved in the greatest family. I'm a part of the greatest family that can ever be. I don't need to have anything else. Number one thing is know who you are in Christ Jesus. Each time that Satan asked Jesus, he said, if you know you are the Son of God, do such and such, turn stone to bread, jump up the cliff, and all of these things. Jesus, listen to his responses. He never for once addressed his identity. You know why? He knew who he was. He didn't have to prove it to Satan. He didn't need to prove to Satan that, oh, I am the Son of God, so let me show you the power of the sons of God. He didn't have to prove anything. If you are not confident in who you are, when the enemy comes to trip you up, you're going to trip. But you will not trip in Jesus' name. Number two thing, know the word of God. Know the word of God. Friends, listen to me. If you get into a contentious argument, into contention with the devil, you cannot win. You might say, Pastor, that's blasphemy. I'm telling you the truth. He has been around a long, long, long. He has experience that you don't have. The only way you can address the devil and address him successfully is by the word of God. You will notice he was even quoting to Jesus the word of God. He said, jump off the cliff. Does the word of God not say that the angels will catch you? And they will not let you stumble. They will not let you kick your foot against the stone. He was preaching, he was quoting the word to the word himself. Because Jesus is the word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And in verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus himself is the word, and is quoting the word to Jesus. If he can dare to quote the word to Jesus, you don't think he will quote it to you? You know, I laughed when I saw the President of the United States of America says the reason he is supporting homosexual marriage is because the Bible says, do unto others, love your neighbor as thyself. I said, that's a scripture, but that's the wrong application of scripture. That is a foolish, I'm sorry to say, with due respect to Mr. President, he was responding foolishly. Amen? So if you don't know the word, the enemy will trip you up. The people that are pushing you to do the wrong things, they will quote the Bible to you. But because you don't know better, you say, oh, that is true, that is true, that is true, that is true. He said, when they have people that are preaching God the mother now. If you don't know the Bible, they will tell you from the Bible and twist scripture. So, what number are we now? Number two. Number two thing you must know is the word of God. Too many people today are ignorant of the word of God. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. If you are ignorant of the word, you will lack the fear of God. Number three, very quickly, I don't have a lot of time this morning because today is Testimony Sunday. Number three, keep your gates with the word of God. Keep the gates of your mouth, the gates of your eyes, the gates of your ears. Keep your gates with the word of God. The Bible says, God said to Joshua, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night. Friends, believe me when I tell you this. You are a product of your thoughts. There is nothing you do that you will not think about before you do it. Nothing. You say, oh, that was impossible. No, it was buried in your subconscious. Amen? A guy in New York just walked out of the convenience store. I said, the first white person I see, I'm going to punch him. Yes. And he went, boom, punches this guy in the head. The guy knocks over, knocks his head. The guy is dead. He thought an evil thought in his mind and the enemy pushed him to do it. The number one way to change your life is to change your thinking. And the number one way to change your thinking is to change the input into your life. If you are inputting violence into your life, one of the reasons they have said that violence has increased in the society is because of the violent video games that people play. So after they have played on it, that is, as they are playing it, they are thinking about the moves, they are thinking about the strategies. After they have dwelt on it long enough, they are meditating the moves, they begin to practice it. Change your input. Change your thinking, and you will change your life. Number four, I'm going to tell you a few practical things right now. Number four is be accountable. Listen to me. A lot of people have repeated cycles in their life. You know there is something that you keep falling into, you keep falling, you keep falling, you keep falling. Have an accountability partner. Just pull somebody that you know you can trust and confess your sins to them. I told you about my story last week. We don't have time to go into it again. Have an accountability partner that you can report yourself to. That you know when the next time you do it, you have to go back and tell. That might be a good deterrent for you. Number five. Be very, very practical with yourself. There's something I wrote here. It's very interesting to me when I saw this correlation. In Genesis chapter 38, and verse 15, Genesis 38 and verse 15, the Bible says Judah went to Timnath, and in Timnath he saw a harlot and he slept with her. Does it not interest you that in Judges chapter 14 and verse 1, Judges chapter 14 and verse 1, Samson went to Timnath and saw, and that was the beginning of trouble. Friend, it does not make sense for you to keep going back to a place that always causes you to fall. You say, no, I'm stronger now, I will go back. And then you go, you come back right. I don't know why I did it. Don't. Be practical with yourself. There's a, I don't know, do you have the PowerPoint ready? Roll it, please. This is called the autobiography in five chapters. Autobiography in five chapters. Please be very quick. We don't have time. Well, I'll take the final point and then I'll come back to that. Change your thinking, change your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you want to know who you really are, check what you are thinking. What are the things that you know, the interesting thing about thoughts is nobody can see your thoughts. Kashina, I don't know what you're thinking right now. You might be thinking, what's wrong with Pastor? Just get over it. It's enough already. Nobody can see your thoughts. And that is why we indulge ourselves in evil thoughts. Let's pull this slide up now. We indulge ourselves in evil thoughts. You encourage yourself. I tell my children, do not encourage yourself to be lazy. Do not encourage yourself to think evil thoughts just because nobody can see what you're thinking. Because if you think about it long enough, you begin to practice evil. You are the product of your thoughts. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you keep seeing and keep seeing, and the things you expose yourself to are the things you say you don't want to do, you will do it. And don't blame the devil. The devil made me do it. Where was the devil when you were thinking? When nobody could see you. But now that you have found out, you say it's the devil. The autobiography in five short chapters. Next slide, please. Watch this. I walked down, chapter one. I walked down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in it. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Next slide, please. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I am in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It takes me a long time to get out. Listen, hold on. Listen to this. You must tell yourself that you need to stop going to Timnath. If there are friends that are always causing you to trip, you need to stop being their friend. It is a practical thing for you to do. Next slide, please. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in it. Guess what? It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is no longer somebody else's fault now. It is my fault. And once I realize my fault, I immediately get out. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. Guess what? I walk around it. So I avoid it, is what it's saying. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. That is just spectacular. Spectacular wisdom. It makes sense. If you keep going the same way and it causes you to trip and fall, find another route. Find a different friend. If this friend is influencing you negatively, then don't let them be your friend anymore. As a matter of fact, when I gave my life to Christ, I had to abandon. It was not long before I realized that God has called me to reconcile men to God, but not these ones that are always reconciling me back to my sin. You know, so my ministry for them is to pray for God to seek men to reconcile them to Him. But it's not my ministry. Why? Because I cannot die because I'm trying to save somebody that is drowning. Jesus already died. He's not expecting me to die. My blood cannot save anybody because the blood is not clean. Praise the Lord. But the one that knew no sin already shed his blood for us. Praise the Lord. And it does not require me to die. Praise the Lord. Let's rise to our feet to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. If you keep falling into temptation, you're weak. And you need strength. Isaiah chapter 40:31, our scripture of the month. Said they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. I am your God. And then he said, be not be dismayed, because I am thy God. He said, I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I want you to pray this morning. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen me with might in my inner man. In the name of Jesus, that I may live the life of an overcomer. I may be an overcomer in the name of Jesus. The things that tripped me yesterday, I do not have the power to trip me again. In the name of Jesus, I am a champion in Christ Jesus. I am a champion in Christ Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, strengthen me, O God. Strengthen me, O God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I wait upon you. Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I rely on you. In the name of Jesus, strengthen me, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah.